Okay, we're in chapter 27 today of Genesis. Chapter 27. I don't know why, but this is a difficult chapter to me. The more I look at it, the more I not necessarily get confused, but I want to go a little bit deeper and so forth. So I'll do what I can today. We got started a little bit last Sunday in chapter 27. On the age of Isaac. Let me just read that over right quick. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said to him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold now, I am old. I know not the way of my death. Know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Now we talked a little bit about last Sunday about how old Isaac was. And most of the commentaries think he's around 137. And 137 is the age of his brother Ishmael when he died. So, like I said last Sunday, it makes you think when your family members around your age or younger than you start dying, you know. My brother died when he was 47. My dad died when he was 53. And here I am, 60. I'm thinking I'm blessed that I'm outliving them. But then I'm thinking, well, how long do I have left? We never know. And we have to live each day as if it's going to be our last. We live each day for the Lord, you know. So Isaac is 137, supposedly. Ishmael died when he was 137. Isaac has already gone blind. So he's thinking, well, I'm losing at least part of my physical functions, you know. It might not be too long yet. So he's thinking, I better get my house in order and stuff like that. I've got things I need to do before I die. You know, if it was us, we might be writing our last will and testament or something like that, you know, or arranging some of our financial things to where when we die it wouldn't be so hard on our family or something like that. But Isaac is thinking he might not have too much longer left. But we know by Scripture in Genesis, Genesis 35:28, he lived to be 180 years old. So he's got another 43 years to go before he dies, really. At least 43 years ago. So, you have to ask, you know, God has, for different patriarchs in the Bible, God has given them excellent physical health until the end of their life. Like Moses, he was had all his faculties and everything just like a younger man until God called him home. And other people in the Bible we see like that. But Isaac, he's lost his sight. And we have to ask ourselves, as we go through this story, did he lose his sight for a purpose? Was it God's providence that he lost his sight? And we keep that in mind as we read through the rest of the story, we can see how that can play out. That God is God's providence, maybe, that he lost his sight. And maybe it's God's providence also, he lost his sight at the time he did and had that many years left. And it's all working to God's perfect will. So we have to keep these kind of things in mind as we go through the rest of the chapter. Okay, verse 6. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat. And bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall sing to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that thy soul may bless thee, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell, my son, is the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God, give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. And let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee. Can you see now where God's providence might be playing a part in Isaac losing his vision?
Mm-hmm. But there's so much deceit. There's so deceiving. So I don't know how to reconcile that.
We're going to talk about that. Okay. Let's go through and look at some of this stuff. Let's go through and look at some of this stuff. Yeah, that's like I said, this is a difficult chapter for me going through here and seeing how everything plays out. So let's take a little bit closer look here. In verse 7, Rebekah basically repeats what apparently she had seen happen with Isaac and Esau, except for one little difference here. She says, said Isaac said, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. The scripture previous to that didn't say that. Now, was that left out of scripture, or is that something that Rebekah added when she's talking to Jacob? I don't know, but she threw that part in there that the son, whichever son, was going to be blessed before the Lord. And those words are not in scripture, coming from Isaac. So I don't know if that's a significance or not. And we don't know if Rebekah actually heard that or not, or if she added that in for the benefit of Jacob. You know, there's lots of unknowns there. And it might have been that she added it in for the benefit of Jacob, because we would have we would think that Rebekah had revealed to Jacob what the Lord had revealed to her when she had the twins in her womb, you know, that the younger was going to rule over the older. So she might have added that in on her own for emphasis to get Jacob to cooperate with her plans that's coming up. But we don't know exactly. There is a difference. And when Isaac was talking to Jacob, when Isaac was talking to Esau, his oldest son, about his plan, his son to, you know, go out and go hunting and bring back some meat for him, and then he's going to be blessed. Esau had nothing to say to his father about, well, why are you blessing me? Because I thought Jacob was supposed to get the blessing, according to what Mom said that God told her. And remember, Dad, I sold my birthright. You know, none of that come up. Esau was very willing to do what his father was asking him to do. So in a way, Esau was a little bit deceitful or deceptive there too. And maybe he had never been told his father that he had sold his birthright like that. He might have been embarrassed about it too. We don't know. There's all kind of possibilities here. Or it could have been so long ago, he just conveniently forgot about it. I mean, things that we do that we're not supposed to, as time goes on, we try to not remember those, you know. But in verse 8, Rebekah's talking to Jacob, and she says, obey my voice. In other words, she's saying, instead of trusting God to carry out his perfect will, I'm going to make things happen. Just do what I tell you and everything will be okay. Listen to your mom. Listen to your mom. Your mom's not going to steer you wrong, except she is. And then she sort of goes along with Isaac that in verse 10, they may bless thee before his death. She seems to think he might be close to the end of his life too. Jacob knows he's doing something wrong though. He knows he's doing something wrong. In verse 12 he says, I shall seem to him a deceiver. If Dad finds out what we've got plotted and he catches me, I don't know what Dad's going to do, but he ain't going to bless me. You know, he's going to curse me. If not, you know, give me a whipping or something too. I don't know. But, you know, Jacob's an old guy now. We were talking last Sunday, somewhere between 57 and 77, based on his father's age. You know, just reading the scripture, me personally, I get the impression that they're younger men. But looking at the numbers and the way it's figured in the Bible, they are middle-aged to older age, you know, 57 to 77, that range. So Jacob knows what he's doing. He knows he's being deceitful. He's afraid he's going to get caught. And his mom is saying, I'll work everything out. Don't worry about it. I've got this down. I know your father. I know what to do and everything. But Jacob's still concerned about it. And she goes as far as saying in verse 13, upon me be thy curse, my son. She says, I'll take all the responsibility. Rebekah knows what she's doing is wrong also. Now, you think Isaac knows he's doing wrong too? He didn't call Jacob in with Esau to talk about a blessing. He didn't consult with Rebekah. Rebekah's got the revelation from God of the future of the twins. It seems as if he's doing this on the sly too. So he knows what he is doing is wrong. So Isaac knows he's doing wrong. Esau knows what he's doing wrong. Jacob knows what he's doing wrong. And Rebekah knows what she's doing is wrong.
Talk about family issues.
And we think we got problems, huh?
Back up to Isaac. Where did he get that he knows he's going wrong? Because he's blessing what he thinks is his firstborn son.
If a husband and wife share like they should, Rebekah should have told him what God had revealed to her about the future of the twins before they were born. And God revealed to Rebecca that the younger was going to be over the older. So Rebecca knows that the blessing of Abraham is supposed to flow through Jacob and not Esau. But it appears as if Isaac wants to take the traditional route and give it to the firstborn.
I just thought that because at that time, you know, just pretty much Isaac had as the leader of the family, you know, like the wife, the women didn't really
sure
count as much.
Yeah, so women didn't count.
He was making his own decision. And, mm-hmm.
But men don't usually do that, do they? But yeah, it appears as if Rebecca and Isaac didn't have as close a relationship, husband and wife, as they should have had. It appears that way to me, that when she overheard what was going on, that he had not told her about his plans or anything.
Divided, one is for this one child.
Right. Yeah, we've seen that division from their birth, you know. Isaac loved Esau and Rebecca loved Jacob. So there's that dysfunctional division there from the beginning. And part of Rebecca's deceit continues. She took Esau's clothes. And before she put them in the washing machine to get all the smell off of them, you know, she gave them to Jacob to wear so he'd have that field smell when he goes before his father. And so she pulled that out of the dirty laundry basket to give him. So, and not only that, she knew how Esau related to his sons. She had an idea where he's going to touch them and kiss them and all that kind of stuff. So she put the goat skin in those strategic places where she figured the father was going to be interacting with the son, you know. So as another part of the deceit. And when Jacob comes before him, it's not enough that he is deceitful for his father, claiming to be Esau. He's also invoking God's name, too, when he's talking to his father. When his father said, "How'd you get this meat so fast?" You know, well, God helped me out doing that. So he's bringing God in his deceit, too, you know. And we often see people when they're trying to be deceitful, they try to bring God into it to try to give their deceit a little bit more credibility. That seems like what Jacob's trying to do here, too, when he's talking to his father. But his father's not lost all his faculties. He can still hear. And it don't sound like Esau's voice. He's got a degree of doubt there that this is really Esau. I got two boys. One's, 22? I can't remember. Another one's 16. And when they call on the phone, I can't remember. When they call on the phone, I pick up and say, "Hello." Said, "Hi, Dad." I don't know which one it is. I really don't. And I pretend like I do, though, you know. And both of them's got deep voices, and I can't tell between them. And they'll start talking. They'll say something that'll give me a hint which one they are, you know. But I pretend I know which one's on the phone. And once in a while, I get it wrong, you know. They could easily deceive me because of the voice. I don't know how close Jacob and Esau is, but his father has some kind of doubt that this is really Esau. So he wants some more evidence here to where he knows he's going to be blessing the right guy. So he asks for a kiss. And Jacob gives him a kiss. There's probably nowhere else in the Bible except maybe the kiss of Judas to Christ's cheek where there's more deceit or lack of affection or whatever. That is not the kind of kiss. It's a deceitful kind of kiss that Jacob is giving to his father. Similar to the kind of kiss that Judas is giving to Christ. But he kisses his father. And when he kisses his father, he gets close enough. His father's trying to gather more evidence here. He gets close enough to where he smells the clothes of Esau. And that sort of seals it for him when he smells that smell. I mean, he knows what Esau smells like. Esau is his favorite son. He's been around him a lot. They've been together a lot. Jacob's been with mom, but Esau has been with dad. And his dad knows what Esau smells like, and he smells Esau, so that sort of does away with his doubt then. He knows Jacob. He knows it's not Jacob. He knows it's Esau now, because he's gathering his, even though his voice sounds different, he still knows it's Esau because he smells that smell. I don't know if I'm going to lose you here or not, but I want to just dwell on this a little while, this smell.
I think he still has doubts because he had to ask him point blank. Art thou my very son Esau?
Yeah.
He answered not because the hands are hairy, right after he says the voice of Jacob, the hands are the hands of Esau.
Yeah.
So he's asking.
And he's touching,
he's
smelling.
The truth, and he can lie to his face.
He's eating. I mean.
It makes you almost think like he kind of knew that it wasn't, you know.
He don't have his vision. God has taken his vision away from him.
But he's
using all his other senses, and his other senses, except for his hearing, his other senses is telling him it's Esau. And just in my opinion, I think the thing that really seals it, I mean, when I'm reading the scripture, is the smell. Because he knows what Esau smells like. Look on the page that has the blue graphic at the bottom. This word smell is not used often in the Bible. I got all the scripture verses listed there where this word smelled is being used. And this is a sort of special word in the Bible. The Hebrew word is ruach. And there's two different ruachs in the Bible. So far as I can tell, I don't know Hebrew, but it looks to me like they're pronounced the same. One ruach is means breath or spirit. This is different ruach. This is ruach that's a smell or a scent or an aroma or something like that. And when Jacob got close to Esau, Jacob got close to Isaac wearing Esau's clothes, it's the smell that his father smelled as part of the evidence that convinced him he was Esau. In Isaiah, this word is used also, but the translation in King James Version is unfortunate because they don't get the true meaning of it. The second verse listed there, Isaiah 11, 3, chapter 11, verse 3. A better translation is right below it, from the Concordant Literal Version. And Isaiah is talking about the coming Messiah and the characteristics of the coming Messiah. And in the literal version there it says, and his scent, or his smell, or his aroma, or whatever, is in the fear of Yahweh. And not by sight his eyes will he judge, and not by hearing of his ears will he correct. In my mind, this verse is sort of related to what's going on here with Isaac. Isaac can't see, so he can't judge with his eyes. He can hear, but he's not sure about his hearing. But the smell the smell has a long ways to convince him of who the person is before him. He convinces Esau. As Christians, we're supposed to take on the nature of Christ, and we're supposed to also have that aroma. We're supposed to be wearing the blood of Christ, the cloak of Christ, that has that smell of the fear of the Lord. And people who look at us, listen to us, touch us, interact with us, all that is part of the evidence. But it's the smell, the aroma of Christ that we give off that should be the convincing factor of people. That we're Christians and that we're trying to be more like Christ. It's that aroma. And it says that in the translation, the literal translation, there's Christ had that scent of the Father, the fear of the Father. But this is a unique word, just appears 11 times in the Bible. And that study in Isaiah I did years ago has always stuck with me about having the scent of God, the scent of the fear of God. And it's that scent as part of the evidence that Isaac is gathering to be convinced that the person before him is Esau, is one of the factors in that evidence. And he blesses him in verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. This is similar to a blessing that God had given to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, except in Genesis 12:3, when God gave this blessing upon Abraham, he also added, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. When Isaac was passing on the blessing to who he thought was Esau, he didn't pass on that blessing. Now, we don't really know why. If it was he was convinced it was Esau, maybe he didn't pass on that part of the blessing because he knew it was supposed to go through Isaac. Maybe Esau just lost the vision of there's supposed to be a blessing that flows through him to all nations. We don't know. We don't know the motivation behind leaving off that part of the blessing. But he does get the blessing of cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee. And it's my opinion that that blessing for Abraham continued on to Jacob, Isaac, and the nation of Israel. Or Jacob and Esau, Jacob and his name Israel, the nation of Israel. It's my opinion that that blessing is also a blessing of Israel, that the nations that support and bless Israel will be blessed by God, and those that curse the nation of Israel will be cursed by God. That's my opinion. And the United States is seems as if we're pulling back. Seems as if we're pulling back from blessing Israel. Seems more so every day. But not only did Isaac lose his physical vision, it seems as if he has lost his spiritual vision also of the nations being blessed through his son. So we know Rebecca knew she was doing wrong. She did wrong. Esau knew he was doing wrong. He did wrong. Isaac knew he was doing wrong. He did wrong. Jacob knew he was doing wrong. He did wrong. But with everybody doing what they knew was wrong, God still carried out His perfect will. And the person He intended to be blessed was blessed. No matter what kind of plans man has, God carried out His perfect will.
But there's always repercussions to the bad choices.
Oh yeah, there's consequences.
Yeah, the consequence, I mean, you know.
They are consequences.
Yeah, Jacob never got to see his parents again, right?
Correct. Now, he got to see Esau after his father died, went back.
And God had done a mighty work, you know.
Yeah. But
Esau married those girls, and they knew that was wrong.
Yeah. You know? He we'll see later, he marries another wife to spite his parents. So the kind of character Esau was, we can understand why Esau didn't get the blessing, but this might be jumping a little ahead, but what is difficult for us to understand sometimes, if God knew Jacob was going to be getting the blessing, why did God not allow Jacob to be the firstborn? Why? I mean, doctors can do that. They push babies around, push right one out, you know.
But isn't there something to be said for the struggle spiritually in all of us?
Yes.
You know, I mean, you can't ever raise a perfect child. Mm-hmm. Because the sin nature is there, and we're all going to make those choices. And as time goes on, they still have to meet face-to-face with their Maker and make choices to, you know, are they going to bow down to Him? You know, mm-hmm. Is Jesus going to be
right.
Their King, their Savior, rule over their life or not? And comes the time, you know. And so maybe some of that struggle, you know, it's obviously God's plan. Look at Joseph, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe for God to test, what are you all going to do if I put you in this situation?
Well, and I think God was testing each one of those individuals.
Yeah,
He's testing them. Exactly. If they had made different choices, God would still carry out His perfect will. God's will would have been accomplished, whatever man decided to do, but it was a test for each one of them. Yeah, it was a test for each one of them, whether they were going to do the right thing or not. And it doesn't matter if to a degree. It doesn't matter if we choose right or wrong. God's still going to accomplish His will. And our choices have consequences for us and before God too. But whatever we do, God's still going to accomplish His perfect will. Hey, let's go on a few more chapters, a few more verses here. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made a savory meat, and brought it to his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten all before thou camest, and thou blessed, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren I have given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also. O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brethren. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break the yoke from off thy neck. Isaac knew what he was doing was wrong to start with. In verse 33, when Isaac figured out what was going on, Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? You ever been doing something that you know you wasn't supposed to be doing and somebody catch you red-handed? And it just, you know, maybe you're doing something you don't want your kids to know about. And they, you know, maybe hiding Christmas presents or something like it. The kids walk up, what you doing, Dad? You know, or something like it. You know, you get this kind of shock, you know, that you're doing something, you're trying to hide something, but you've been discovered. Isaac had that kind of feeling here. He has been discovered by God, even though God knows everything. He knows what he's trying to do and bless, and Esau wasn't right. And he thought he'd got away with it, and he didn't get away with it. He had been caught red-handed by God, trying to bless the son he wasn't supposed to bless. And when he realized that, he basically said, well, he's blessed. There's nothing I'm going to do about it. The one that got the blessing is the one that's supposed to get the blessing. That was God's plan to start with, and he is blessed now. Well, there's nothing I can do about it.
And I see where the blindness is kind of.
Yeah. We can see where it's God's providence that Isaac was blind. Mm-hmm. So God, you know, given everybody being deceitful, only thing God had to do to accomplish his will was take Isaac's sight. Mm-hmm. And he was able to accomplish his will. There's a strange verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 says, By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith. Blind faith? No. By faith. There's some hard sayings in the Bible. It's hard to reconcile in our minds. The faith of Isaac. And he blessed Jacob by faith. What kind of faith was that?
Because God knows. What kind of faith he had.
Well, concerning things to come, that would come to pass, blessing and children be multiplied and great nations and all that. That's a leap of faith there.
I think the faith part of it come in when Isaac said, yea, and he shall be blessed. God accomplished his will. I think that's where the faith came in. Isaac says, there's nothing I can do about it. God accomplished his will. Strange kind of faith. Mm-hmm. But it's called faith in Hebrews, the faith of Isaac. Strange kind of faith. But Isaac confirmed the blessing that he had accidentally given to the wrong person. And he understood that it stood. And he understood that God overrode his foolishness in trying to bless Esau. He had attempted to obstruct God's purpose by insisting to bless Esau over Jacob. But when it was revealed to him, God's blessing stands. God's blessing stands. Esau realized that too. And you can imagine the kind of cry he let out when, you know, I sold my birthright and now you're giving away my blessing. I don't have anything left. Can't you give me something? You can imagine the cry he let out. In Hebrews 12, 14 to 17, reading three verses here, Hebrews 12, 14 and 17. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let there be any, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The repentance it's talking about is probably the kind of repentance that maybe a shoplifter has after you get caught. You know, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I got caught, you know, or whatever. It's not the heartfelt repentance that we're looking for. You know, a person can be sorry, but not really repent to change his ways. You know, if let me do that over. You know, let me go and I'll never do it again kind of thing. Well, you let them go, they do it again. But it calls Esau a profane person in Hebrews. If you look at Isaac did give Esau a blessing, and it sounds similar in a way, part of it, to what he gave Jacob. But if you look at the back of the page I handed out, there's some controversy on that. Genesis 27:39 at the top of the page. There are some translations that lead you to believe that Esau is blessed with the fatness of the land and the dew. And then other translations is just the opposite. If you look down through there, I don't know, it's about half and half. I don't know. But the way they're translated in English, it leads you to think two different ways in the various different English translations. But the commentaries I read on that verse, basically there's some kind of nuance in the language to where the blessings he gave to Esau were not complete blessings. If you look at it, the blessing he gave to Jacob first, he said, God give you, and then the blessing he gave to Esau is your dwelling will be. So he's going to dwell where the fatness of the land is and the dew is, but he's not going to be able to reap the benefit of that kind of thing. So Isaac is saying, yeah, you can live there and be in the presence of all this, but you're not going to get the fruits of it. And if you look at the blessing of he gave to Jacob, he says, and he'll be provided and blessed with corn and wine. He didn't say that with Esau. So there's a nuance there that we don't get from in the English unless you look at one of the other translations. Actually, it wasn't a blessing. It was a prophecy, I guess you'd say, of Esau, that he wasn't going to be able to get the fruit of the land like Esau was.
But, like Cain and Abel. I mean, there
is. Yeah. But that's those kind of things are difficult to get in the Bible when especially when you got different translations saying different things, and in English saying different things. And you have to go back to the Hebrew, and we don't get all the nuances of the language when we have translation like that. But he did get a blessing, but not the kind of blessing he was hoping to get. And we're out of time, but one last thing in verse 40. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke off thy neck. In commentaries, don't know exactly what that means. And some of them offer up the verse 2 Kings chapter 8, where the nation of Edom had thrown off the domination of Israel and had their own king as a possibility. But another possibility is it's talking about modern times. You know, we think of Islam living by the sword. And to spite his mother and father after this incident, and we'll see it over in the next chapter, Esau goes and marries a daughter of Ishmael. So their descendants are also descendants of Ishmael. So there's some thought that this may be talking about modern times too. That Islam's throwing off the yoke of Israel and becoming dominant too. With that, let's close with a prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray you'll continue unfolding your word before us as we go into our sanctuary now, Lord. We pray that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.